Summer is almost here, and Good Ranchers wants to give you what you've been craving, a beautiful, tasty steak for the grill. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. I like how everything comes vacuum-sealed, and it all tastes great. Every cut is sourced from local American farms and is hand-cut, trimmed, and aged to perfection. Good Ranchers is proud to be your trusted source for high-quality, all-American meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and pick your box. They have ribeye, New York strip, all-natural burgers, and all the delicious chicken you could ever want. Plus, it's all $30 off with my code DANA. This is the perfect time of year to easily change the way you buy meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use my code DANA for $30 off of any box, and make this summer one to remember. Remember, with American meat delivered right to your door from GoodRanchers.com. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. Use my code DANA for $30 off at GoodRanchers.com today.
Even if you listen to the last segment with Jake, everything that was just talked about is not on the minds of independent voters in America. They are focused on the things that are affecting their families. First and foremost, has my child actually caught up from being locked out of schools for 2 years? Is fentanyl, which is a major issue in so many communities around our country, is the president going to do the job of securing our border and stopping the drug cartels from having operational control of our southern border? Are we going to maintain the dollar as the world's reserve currency while China's trying to negotiate around the United States? Inflation, yes, the year-over-year number is trending down, but the impact of inflation on the American family has completely devalued their wages over the last 2 years. Those are the things that really matter to Americans.
Yeah, those are the things that matter to Americans, and yet that's not the stuff that they were talking about at the are you shocked? Are you shocked?
Nope.
We're going to dive into that a little more deeper here in a little bit. But I mean, I maintain, and I have a piece that'll be forthcoming. I think he should have passed on it. I mean, here you've got Title 42, which we knew it was going to sunset today. I'm trying to think how long ago?
Yeah.
Forever ago? Years?
Well, since Biden took office.
Yeah. And we knew the Comer presser was coming this week, last week. And I know CNN, have participated in a CNN town hall before. I know a little something about them. And also being that, and I worked with CNN as a token conservative for a while. I know a little something about, they could have run regular programming. And he and Trump really didn't have to go on. He did not have to go on. He could have run regular programming. And it could have... I don't think that you jump in front of any kind of, when you have a huge scandal dropping on your political opponent, that's not the time that you jump in front of him to soften the hit by doing this town hall like this, honestly. So welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon. And we could have been talking about Biden. All the headlines could have been about Biden family corruption today.
Yeah.
Instead, what is still, because they dropped it yesterday. Instead, what do we have? Over and over again. Yeah, that's what we have. Also, too, they've been trying to get us to care. So, okay, I have two pieces coming at you. If you sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse over at Substack. The first piece that I have is about the Trump town hall thing. The second piece is sort of a mashup of a few things. And one of those is I don't care about George Santos. I really don't. Am I supposed to? Am I supposed to care? Are you going to tell me I'm a bad person? I don't care. Do you know why I don't care? Because I don't. I don't care because he is a minor, corrupt, I guess, player. I mean, you're innocent until proven guilty. They're trying to deflect from everything with the Bidens by going, but look, George Santos. The guy who, and I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he gives me duck face from Full House vibes. You know what I'm saying? That one kid who wore the sweater vest all the time, like even when it was like a summer episode. I mean, I just get those vibes. And so I just don't really see, I don't see why I should care. And so I'm writing about this. I'm sending this out as part of several things. Because this whole thing with the Santos case, I mean, last night I was preparing to steam some graduation gowns because we have two boys graduating 6 days apart in my house. And I'm steaming graduation gowns and having to make decisions about concrete. And I had way too many Chewy Sweethearts and dragging a little bit today. That was my party. What happened to you, Dana? I had half a box of Chewy Sweethearts. I've had sugar in forever. I binged on half a box of Chewy Sweethearts and I'm dying. That's my version of a hangover. Once you hit 40, it's like you get a hangover from eating too many Chewy Sweethearts. And I was looking at all the social media video of George Santos getting mobbed in New York City yesterday. He got hit with 13 felonies, including wire fraud, money laundering, and he was spending donor money on some sweet designer duds. He was getting all Gucci'd. So I don't know if that was the label or not. So he says that, I actually think this is funny. He's like, I'm not going anywhere. I just embellished my resume. That's it. And then he was like wondering aloud why no one was talking about the Biden stuff. Here's some of his remarks. This is yesterday. Audio sent by 4. Watch this.
For me to come out and talk to you guys. Look, this is the beginning of the ability for me to address and defend myself. We have an indictment. We have the information that the government wants to come after me on, and I'm going to comply. I've been complying throughout this entire process. I have no desire not to comply at this point. They've been gracious in there. Now I'm going to have to go and fight to defend myself. The reality is it's a witch hunt, because it makes no sense that in 4 months, 4 months, 5 months, I'm indicted. You have Joe Biden's entire family receiving deposits from non-family members receiving money from foreign destinations into their bank accounts. It's been years of exposing. A lot of you here have reported on them, and yet no investigation is launched into them. I'm going to fight. I'm getting back to that. I'm going to fight my battle. I'm going to deliver. I'm going to fight the witch hunt. I'm going to take care of clearing my name, and I look forward to doing that.
He's got a point, though. You can't blame him. He does have a point. So they've been calling him the Long Island liar. So they said he's broken campaign finance laws and he stole money from a dog and he is behind a credit card fraud. And I mean, maybe he is. I don't know. They said that he loaned $700,000 to his congressional campaign. People were wondering where it came from. I mean, I don't know how he is $500,000 bail. I don't know how he made that, but you know, whatever. I'm just he brought up the Biden stuff and they went, no, no,
holy cow.
It's not.
That's our media.
Like they did with the Hunter Biden laptop. No, I mean, it's actually Hunter Biden, like with hookers and blow in a hotel room. No, it's Russian collusion. They all like Russian collusion. All the hens. It's all they did. I mean, they have not even, let me lay this out. I'm going to come back to the Santos thing. James Comer, House Oversight, they had their big thing yesterday. They come out with all this stuff. And I think there's more things that are coming. And because Comer just didn't apparently show them video of Joe Biden looking at the camera and taking cash money from Xi Jinping and everything else and saying, thank you for this payoff, this bribe, Xi Jinping. Because they didn't have that, then it's a nothing burger. That's how they're treating it. Right? I mean, there was more evidence than that than there ever was in more collusion. I mean, there wasn't actually any evidence in there. They literally fabricated it out of the ether. And then this, you have tons of evidence. No, they just, all those communist Chinese just gave Joe Biden millions of dollars because they're nice. What? That's what you have to believe in order to think that this is nothing. No, they just gave them millions of dollars because they're nice. And the Bidens were so proud of it, they hid it in all these shell companies. They were so proud. They wanted to They wanted to put it in all these different companies and spread the pride.
So legal.
Yeah, much legals.
Yeah.
So much legals. So legal. That's literally, this is a family. How many drug addicts do they have in that family? They They gave them millions of dollars to a family where the guy was the VP and then running for president. And they, you're telling me that commies expected nothing in return? Really? I mean, they spent all day yesterday going on and on about George Santos. Like he's, oh my gosh. They spent so much time on this. You have millions of dollars from the communist Chinese, more from Romania, more from Ukraine. They had up all these, 20 some odd, 16 of them, I think, were LLCs, all these different shell companies. All the damn Bidens were on the dole. Oh, no, they just paid them that because they liked them. They're just friends. Why didn't they disclose it? They forgot. Ever have so many millions you just forget? No.
It was so legal, they had to hide it.
Yeah, it was so legal, they had to hide it and disperse it within all these shell companies and totally not disclose it, even though they full well knew that they had to. But, you know, legals. Yeah, I don't believe that. And so they act like it was a nothing burger. So they now that's why they're like, oh, but George Santos, though, this guy's the devil. Probably knows him, the devil. That's how they are. It is so stupid. But they don't care. They don't care about all of this. In fact, the DOJ, think about this. They absolutely timed the arrest of George Santos at the exact same time that Comer and the House Oversight Committee had their press conference unveiling all the new information. Just totally a coincidence that the DOJ completely timed and had orchestrated the arrest of George Santos and all of that to happen at the exact same time. Totally coincidental. Mm-hmm. Very coincidence. Much coincidence. Do you believe that?
Not at all.
You don't believe it?
Not at all.
I don't believe it either. They literally the exact same time. And they're out there going, they got 10 million here, this a million here. They got all, you know, they had a network of 20 plus companies, all these foreign nationals, all these energy contracts, CCP, all this stuff, which actually threatens to undermine national security if it hasn't already. And no. As soon as Joe Biden leaves office, it's crazy. The money from Romania stopped coming. What? I'm sure that's totally a coincidence. Right? It's a coincidence, right? I'm that Natalie Portman meme, right? And then you had one network that had the oversight presser, and then MSNBC, CNN, and everybody else, they just didn't even have anything. The New York Times front page, top of the above the fold, did not even have the Biden stuff there. It was just George Santos. New York Times, Washington Post, they didn't even have the stuff about the Biden. But the president of the United States is implicated in a major, major kickback scheme that undermines national security. The same press that literally made up stories about Russian collusion using discredited Democrat oppo material didn't even want to bite. They're a joke. Absolute joke. Golly. Oh, we got more to come. I just don't care about the Santos thing. Mm-mm. And if this is the two-tiered system of justice, I don't care. Don't care. I have some exciting news for those of you who wish that you could be nearer to Hillsdale College. Now, you can be a part of Hillsdale, no matter where you are in the world. In addition to their free online courses, Hillsdale College has created something new, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It allows you to learn even more from Hillsdale anywhere at any time. And on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, you'll hear podcasts that feature conversations with Hillsdale College faculty, staff, friends, alumni, as well as visiting speakers and authors discussing everything from philosophy to theology to history, economics, politics, and current events. Listen to hundreds of episodes on the network, from the Hillsdale Dialogues to the radio-free Hillsdale Hour to the Larry Arn Show, all for free. Get informed and entertained at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com, and learn more about their free online courses and the new Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, changing hearts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
You don't want to miss it. Definitely not. All right, so this is so funny. Officers ran to assist after they heard cries for help. They heard this was in Oklahoma. They got a call that someone was in distress and screaming for help. Officers David Sneed and Neil Story with the Enid Police Department responded. And they heard what sounded like a person crying for help in the distance. And then they started running through the wooded property. The screams got louder. "That's a person," one of the officers says in a video posted by the police department. They reached the sound of the screams and they discovered, in fact, it wasn't a person. It was an upset goat. It was an upset goat. And the video, the audio is a little hard to hear, but they were running and they said sometimes you can really, a call can really get your goat. They were like really good natured about it. But it was actually hysterical. It was an upset goat. And they joked on Facebook, "Thank you. You know, your swift actions helped," etc. So they were really good sports about it. But it is absolutely just hysterical. And it was a very upset goat. And the goat was just like not having a good day in the pasture. So anyway, I'm going to send that out loud in my little stack of things that I'm sending out tonight. MTV News is being shut down. Now, not MTV, the MTV News Department. So there's a difference. But that's, I got my news from Kurt Loder. Who remembers Kurt Loder? Kurt Loder was the OG, man. Kurt Loder was it. I love me. He taught me about Taylor Ham. He messaged me and was telling me all about Taylor Ham. I never even knew that was a thing. And then I realized how big of a fight it is in Jersey. Also, Bud Light sales, you hear the headlines that their falling sales are bad. They're getting actually some other measurement as to how bad it is. It is, their stock is downgraded. It is so much of a crisis. They had their stock downgraded and the company is in crisis. That is how bad this is. Whew. A massive alligator terrifies people at the, it was at the beach. They said it's not every day something like this happens. They were at Dauphin Island, tourist hotspot, and there an alligator swims up on the beach. Right there, legit on the beach. That would terrify me. So what else is, it's, golly, that's terrifying. Gators scare me because they look like they got so much attitude, and I don't like that. A mysterious object has been spotted that's 10 million times as bright as the sun, and scientists can't figure out why it's exploded. It's me. It's me in the sky. I'm kidding. It's maybe. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
We've identified about 20 plus shell companies that the Bidens have created to launder the money they were receiving from foreign nationals down to their personal bank accounts. We've identified about 12 different banks that they were laundering this money through. Maria, what we presented yesterday was from 4 banks. We have 8 more banks to go. But what we found is, thus far, $10 million that I don't think a single member of the Biden family can explain how they received was deposited into the Biden family accounts. And the way they did it, the way they transferred money around is honestly why they got so many suspicious activity reports from the banks.
Yeah, they had 170 different suspicious activity reports from the banks. That is what was originally reported, and that's what ultimately triggered that initial investigation, which began in 2018. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this first hour. That was James Comer with the House Oversight Committee. And here's the thing with this. So he's telling you how they used all these shell companies to spread around all of these millions. You know, 10 million here, all this, these millions from Romania, you know, talking about all these energy companies from with China, it starts with the CEFC, the Chinese energy company, the CCP run company that Rosemont Seneca, which was Hunter Biden's firm that he created and was working with a CCP official. I mean, how is that not jeopardizing, undermining national security? I'll never know, but, you know, I digress. But they received millions from all of these foreign nationals and all their related companies, and they didn't disclose any of these payments. Now, you have to, at the very least, say, dude, if he's running for president, he needs to disclose this stuff, which wasn't done. This is why it threatens to implicate Biden, even, because Hunter Biden was the front guy for it, but Joe was making a cut, a huge cut, 10% for the big guy. Don't forget, 8 other family members were also. And now, get this. This is where it gets even crazier. The FBI has refused to comply with a House subpoena for one of the key documents in the whole criminal scheme. The FBI, and this is according to a number of reports, the FBI is hiding what they say is an FBI-generated FD-1023 form that was revealed by a whistleblower. The form, and this is from Colin Rugg, who's a reporter, the form allegedly details an alleged criminal scheme involving then-VP Biden and a foreign national relating to the exchange of money for policy decisions. They say the FBI responded to the GOP request with the following. Quote, sensitive law enforcement materials like FD-1023, confidential human source reporting forms, in which you have expressed interest, are critical to the FBI's faithful execution of federal law and protection of U.S. national security. They say an FD-1023 is one of the many forms the FBI uses to collect and catalog information for its law enforcement and national security work. This form is used by FBI agents to record unverified reporting from a confidential human source. Reporting by confidential human sources is one important form of highly sensitive law enforcement information upon which the FBI relies. Oh my gosh, how many times are they going to say the same damn thing? Really, they said the same thing like a million times. So they denied the House request for this form. So here you have, I mean, this is, they have hard evidence. The FBI won't hand over a hard evidence. And the left is like, we want hard evidence. The FBI doesn't hand it over. And then the left is all excited about it. Yay! That's the hard evidence. You guys said you wanted hard evidence. Here's some hard evidence. And? Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's, make this make sense, please.
Not possible.
Make it make sense. But that's what they're pushing. So with this, I mean, this was wild. Because you have this shell network that they had to conceal all of this. And they were routing all of these payments in and sending them out incrementally to all these different bank accounts. They were trying to hide the source of it. And that's, again, over 170 suspicious activity reports. So you got Hunter Biden, James Biden, James Biden's wife, Sarah Jones Biden, Jiminy Christmas, Hallie Biden, Hunter Biden's ex-wife, Hunter Biden's wife now, and three children of the president's son and the brother. Those are all the people, apparently, of the nine, the Biden nine. And most of the money came from Chinese nationals and companies that they didn't have ties with the CCP. Here's how this works. A business that's operating successfully in China employs CCP. They don't just have ties to it. They employ government officials in the business. That's like having a babysitter in the office. No, that's how it's run. And China, of the countries that they were working in, that's where they get most of the money. Now, the ones in Romania, because they got millions from Romania, they said that these records, I mean, there's no other, because see, at least with China, they can try to argue that, oh, well, we were doing these energy deals. Remember one of the energy deals we talked about here on this program months ago, actually over a year ago, was the Rosemont Seneca, that was the firm that was working with, like, what is it, the CEFC? I think that was the energy company, the Beijing-run CCP energy company. They worked with Hunter Biden, and Rosemont Seneca helped facilitate the acquisition of the mineral rights to one of the biggest cobalt mines in the world, in Democratic Republic of Congo. And that's the mine, incidentally, where 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I think, ABC did a story about all of the kids, 20,000 some odd kids, that were hand mining cobalt in the DRC at this exact mine. So they came out with this story. And I will have you know also, this is what's really wild. And I was thinking about this as I was reading all of this stuff last night ahead of today's broadcast. I was looking at the ABC report, and at the time that they were doing this report is pretty much the time that acquisition was taking place. Nobody, how do you miss that? Especially if the mineral rights change over from, you know, to a CCP energy company. How do you miss that? I know they were lauded for having the story. I'm going to pull this up. Let me pull this up. Because, yeah, I mean, how do you... And then they did, they had an updated version of the story like a year ago. I mean, this was, I mean, all of this, like they had, like ABC had tweeted out February of this year, cobalt mining transformed city and DRC satellite imagery shows. This is the area. And they keep talking about it, but they never actually made that link. They never actually made that link. That seems wild. I mean, here you have, at that time, Joe Biden was a former VP going to run for president. You would think. Mm-mm. I mean, you had a story from June of 2022. It was BBC. They didn't even, I mean, it's just wild. So my point is that no one really did the digging, and it seems like that would be pretty wide open. And they, at least with China, the Biden administration could argue, oh, well, you know, we got these energy dealings. But with Romania, they had nothing like that. See, their business dealings in Romania, what the committee's saying is that bears clear indication of some kind of scheme to peddle influence from 2015 to 2017. So that was like right when Biden was still VP and then leaving office. And he had spoken out about Romanian corruption quite a bit at the time. But they got millions from this Romanian, a company that is controlled by this Romanian national guy who's been accused of all kinds of corruption and all this stuff. They had 17 payments that came into him when Biden was still in office. Or sorry, 16 of the 17 Biden received came in while Biden was still VP, while he was still in office. And then it was weird because Comer noted, well, right after Joe Biden left the vice president's office after, you know, the election, then, you know, those payments from Romania stopped. Now, they had to subpoena all these different banks. And he said at the presser yesterday that the committee was still in the early investigation. And they think that there are tons of other banks that have records. They're still getting them. I mean, they had and it was CEFC China Energy. Like, for instance, one of the records that they had, this was State Energy HK Limited. This is a Hong Kong agency, and it's affiliated. So they are tied to CEFC, which is the Beijing business. And they wired $3 million to this LLC that Hunter Biden had created called Robinson Walker. And that was 2 months after Joe Biden left the office of the left the vice president's office. That was March 1st, 2017. They had another that wired over $1 million to a European energy and infrastructure group in Abu Dhabi who worked with, that was also part of Hunter Biden's businesses. I mean, all of these. So that's why the investigation began back in 2018 in the first place, because they were moving so much money around. And now you got the FBI's like, we don't want to provide this form to you. And, you know, people were wondering, why wasn't this disclosed? But, you know, George Santos is the real interest story here. That's the real interest story. You gotta be kidding me. Now, on top of this, wait, I got more. No, we can't. No, we got more. So check this out. The DHS, this came out yesterday, didn't really get a lot of, it kind of got lost in everything that was happening. So in Maine, there were pro-lifers who testified overnight in like a 20-hour hearing. They were testifying against a bill. This was about abortion, etc. And what came out is that the DHS, the Biden DHS, appeared to consider the production of training videos targeting what they call radicalization suspects. So they were saying that suburban pro-life moms, and these are documents obtained by America First Legal Foundation. They were targeting pro-life moms and others that they labeled radicalization suspects. And the series was proposed to about these training videos and to, identify these suspect people was proposed 9 days into Biden's presidential term. The Foundation for Freedom Online, they said that the findings add to the litany of evidence that the DHS shifted its focus from threats of foreign terrorism to monitoring and meddling in domestic U.S. citizen political beliefs. The DHS radicalization suspects in the video screenplays are not violent terrorists or extremists. They're typical everyday Americans that have typical everyday American opinions. Like, they showed one woman in one of the training videos, they had one quote unquote radicalization suspect scenario, and they had the documents. This was dated January 29th, 2021. And it showed this profile for what they called a middle-aged woman named Anne, who's described as pro-life. And it's like this fictional profile. And it says, this is Anne, a resident of Elkville in rural America. Anne has always been religious, but since the death of her mother, she's been increasingly devout. She's a regular in the small-town community, active in several church groups. And while she's always been protective of her four kids, she's become increasingly more concerned about the welfare of other children, including the unborn. And they ask viewers to take bystander roles, and it's like, choose your own adventure. You have like three things that you can choose that are supposed to somehow summarize, like, you know, real life decisions at the end of each scene. And in Anne's case, you can choose to be a preacher, a bakery employee, a hairdresser. And like, if you're the preacher at the church, or if you're the baker or whatever, and you notice that Anne has become increasingly more devout in her pro-life stance, and One of the things that they used to justify whether or not she's getting radicalized, Kane, and I'm reading, this is directly from the thing. Anne asks you directly if the Bible justifies violence in defense of life.
Yeah.
This is the stuff they were developing. This is what the DHS was developing. So they were targeting parents who spoke up at school board meetings. And now you have DHS targeting regular, average, everyday people simply if they do not believe in abortion as recreational birth control. Or just wild. Yep. And this was all at the same time they were coming out with that disinformation governance board. That lady, that crazy lady, is trying to sue. She saw what happened with Dominion, I guess, and she's trying to sue now. I don't know. This is wild. Just absolutely wild. You got this. If you get the newsletter, you have this. You were sent this last night in your email, or this morning in your email newsletter. So read that story. It is wild. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
And in all...
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Audience, an American audience lapping it up. This isn't Putin's Russia. This is Trump's slice of America. And what I saw last night, at least, was as chilling as anything I've seen on television since January the 6th.
Oh, my gosh. This guy is so drama. Joe Scarborough is one of the most overdramatic people I've ever seen. He's like the guy who, you know what he reminds me of? Go ahead and turn me up, because I got to play this thing.
Go for it.
You know what he reminds me of? You know that, do I have this? Actually, I don't have this.
What?
No, it's not up here. You know what one I was going to play? No, he was murdered.
Oh.
Oh, wait, no, I do have
it. Here's your word.
I was murdered.
That's Joe Scarborough.
Murdered.
Okay, you obviously weren't murdered because you're alive and you're basically intact. You weren't murdered, buddy.
Yeah, you weren't murdered, buddy. You weren't. He's so dramatic. It's ridiculous. He's so incredibly dramatic. I mean, it was, you didn't learn anything new. You didn't learn anything new at all. I mean, it's, they're so mad because CNN had him on. CNN did it for a reason. But, and then the left wasn't even happy. I mean, oh my gosh, just get over it. Just get over it. This is so goofy. Oh, but I do love seeing how mad the left is. Like MSNBC actually stopped talking about Fox for a second and started talking about CNN. Yeah. I've never seen MSNBC go after CNN before, have you?
No.
That was weird. That's yeah. Media. We have a lot more on the way. We'll talk about the town hall. We also have the Title 42 stuff. I got wokery as well. Stick with us, more in store. Back after. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
A couple of things. First of all, town halls are for the voters, not for the press, not for the person who's the moderator. Caitlin spent more time interjecting her own viewpoints or her own views on the situation.
Excuse me, those were actually fact checks.
Now, are you guys not going to interject your views over here? Do I get a chance to speak now?
If you're speaking falsely, those were facts.
The town hall is for the president to speak to the voters of New Hampshire, not for this back and forth
with the media.
That's number one. Hold on, that's number one.
Number two, you guys did.
With respect to Ukraine, I totally disagree. He did not say he was just going to give over Ukraine the way you intimate, Van. He did not say that.
What he said was that
he would actually look for a solution to end it quickly. He put 24 hours on it, but let's be very clear. What Joe Biden has done has been a disaster.
Hmm. So, Byron Donalds, I hate that he had to do this. I hate that this was the focus.
That's our media.
Yesterday. Well, and it's stupid decisions to entertain it. Welcome to the second hour of the program. It's good to be with you. Dana Loesch here, as always. You can listen coast to coast across the country, and you can also stream it, watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, and also channel 347 DirecTV. Okay, so I'm just going to say it. Because you guys know me, I'm not going to sit here and tiptoe around anything. I give credit where due, but I'm going to call out dumb moves when due. I have no idea why Trump did this yesterday. I have no clue. James Comer had been talking about this press conference since last week. I know that because we played audio of James Comer talking about the press conference this week, last week. I know that. Because when we had previously talked to elected officials, including Jim Jordan, they were giving us the week that they were going to drop some documentation to substantiate their claims with regards to the Hunter Biden and the Biden family scandal. And I know, again, that this whole press conference from the House Oversight Committee was going to be taking place this week because they actually were pushing law enforcement agencies, well, don't indict, don't do anything yet. Wait till the press conference next week. And then at the top of this week, Comer was saying, wait till the press conference on Wednesday. Wait till the press conference. So we know when they were having the press conference. Furthermore, we have known when Title 42 was going to expire since last year. And we actually knew even before then. We knew when Title 42 was going to expire since the Trump administration. So it's been a while. We knew the exact day because in writing the legislation, lawmakers had to put for specificity the exact day. So we knew that there were going to be some pretty big things popping off today that really, really deserved some news coverage, that really deserved the headlines. And if Republicans, all of them, were smart, they would have strategized to maximize that. But instead, it's announced last week, hey, CNN just happens to want to do a town hall on the exact same day, the night before Title 42 expires, on the exact same day that James Comer and House Oversight are having their press conference to talk about all of the documentation as it relates to the Hunter Biden scandal. CNN wanted to do a town hall. Now, I know a little bit of something about CNN town halls. Number one, I used to be a contributor there as the token conservative, not the Nepo baby, but someone that has merit that was a conservative and token at CNN. And also because I participated in a CNN town hall. And I didn't choose to participate in it. I was working for an entity that was partnered with an organization that had required me to be there. So it was part of my job, and no, was not an answer. It was nothing I could reschedule. It was nothing I could reduce. So I know a little bit of something about the town halls and how CNN works and their culture. So when CNN came up with this idea to do a town hall on the eve of the expiration of Title 42, when CNN came up with the idea to do a town hall on the same damn night that James Comer and House Oversight were going to have this press conference, some people might have looked at that and said, you know what? I get what you're doing. This is bait. You want to distract from everything that's going on. You want to distract from the Hunter Biden scandal and the Biden family scandal. Hell, it's nine of them. It's not even just one. You want to distract from that. You want to distract from the expiration of Title 42. You want to distract from all of this. And I'm not going to be party to that. I'm not going to help you. I mean, that's what I would have said. That's what I think people who were strategizing would have said. And it's what Donald Trump should have said. Now, I know people, whenever, because I criticize equally and I give credit equally. And it's weird because, and I've said before, I've known the guy for over a decade. So a lot of the people working for him hate me because I'm not a sycophant. And I'm not a sycophant to anybody. And I'm just the way, I'm a sycophant to you guys because we're friends. And me hanging out with you, this is what we do. So it's kind of weird if I'm beholden to one politician over another. And then also trying to present myself as being somehow bipartisan and fair towards you. It's weird, right? That's what we criticize legacy press for. I'm a commentator, but that's what we criticize news anchors for, correct? Correct. He should have said no. He should have said, how about I do it the week after? I mean, there's nothing to lose the week after. New Hampshire is still going to be there. This New Hampshire town hall for the voters that CNN put together and advertised, you knew it wasn't going to be about New Hampshire town hall for the voters. And the fact that it came literally the day after the E. Jean Carroll thing, you knew what the topic was going to be. We were going to revisit all of everything from 2016. It was going to be about election, grab them by the bits, etc., etc. You knew it was going to be about all of this, and it was going to be nonstop about all of this. It was never going to let up. They didn't ask him, if they really wanted to get him, they would have asked him questions that, I don't know, actual Republicans and conservatives would have wanted to ask. If I was Caitlin Collins, and I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. First off, she's not a conservative. She's a moderate. She's not a conservative. Just because you got your start at Daily Caller 10 years ago doesn't mean that you're a conservative, because there are a lot of moderates that got their start at Daily Caller 10 years ago because they never demanded ideological fealty. So let's establish that. I'm giving her, now before you freak out, I'm giving her some grace because I also know how CNN execs work. I don't know how much leeway she was given, if any, in coming up with these questions. Because I kind of know that previously, some people did not have any leeway in certain town halls. And they became very aggravated when I pointed that out publicly and unfollowed me on Twitter. So I'm just saying, just keep that in mind with all of this. But if Caitlin Collins really wanted to twist the screws. Now, this is me being clinical. Guys, there's no politician perfect, and we don't live in no monarchy, okay? If she really wanted to twist the screws, she would have said, why didn't you build the wall? She would have said, why didn't you push Congress to fully fund it when you were controlling Congress, when you controlled the power of the purse, and you could have, you know, you could have had this in an appropriations. You could have done this in a number of ways. Why didn't you do it? She would have asked that. She would have asked about tariffs and divided the right, the libertarian right from the more Republican right, with the conservatives in the middle watching the two sides fight. She would have asked that. If she was really wanting to turn the screws, she would have asked, why did you say take the guns first and then due process later? And she would have played the video of him saying it. She would have played the video of him talking about how he thinks AR-15 maybe should be banned. Now, he didn't do it, but he talked about it, and he complimented Dianne Feinstein. She would have played that video if she really wanted to turn the screws. If she really wanted to turn the screws, she would have asked him if he regretted anything about the vaccine. And if he, why didn't he put anything in place to prevent the injection from being mandated by federal employees or any number of things? My point is that they asked him questions. This wasn't a New Hampshire town hall for voters, because they asked questions that voters don't give a rat's ass about. They asked questions that they have fetishes over. I don't give a damn about E. Jean Carroll. I don't give a damn about locker room talk. I've heard a hell of a lot worse from chicks. I don't care about none of it. What I care about are some of the questions that I just brought up. What I care about is the economy. How would you save the economy? Ask him that. Ask him questions that actually help shape people's opinions. Ah, and here we are. They weren't asking questions to better inform New Hampshire voters. They were asking questions to reinforce the biases that voters may still inherently have. And that was the purpose of this town hall. And it's why they should have outplayed CNN instead of letting CNN play them. And you know I'm right. Because now look at the media cycle. If it's not George Santos, it's about Donald Trump. And as I said, I don't give a crap about, and forgive my Portuguese, but I really don't feel like being Kitty and Sunshine about this. I don't care about George Santos. I don't care about a minor level corrupt politician. But Dana, you should if you care about corruption. Yes, but that is predicated upon accountability in a single tier justice system. And so you're presupposing that we are still in that, and we're not. So if we have two tiers of justice and someone who does something demonstrably worse, just even with, there's enough evidence for an investigation, and there's a hell of a lot more evidence coming. And if you can, for crying out loud, they convicted Mike Flynn on a lie. They ran the Russian collusion thing on all kinds of stuff. There's ample evidence just not even including the Chinese stuff and the money coming in. I don't believe in a single-tier justice system because we don't live in it. I would like to, but we don't live in that. So you can say, Dana, you should dislike corruption. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I dislike corruption. I dislike two systems of justice because that's also corruption. So if we have to play by these rules, then I don't care. How about that? So the headlines are all that guy, or it's all Trump in this town hall. That's literally all it is. And I cannot be prevailed upon to care. And it was a bad move that his campaign did this last night, because they shot the right in the foot, themselves in the foot, on two of the biggest stories. He got in the way of a story that could have taken or that threatens to take down his opponent. He literally helped massage the hit against his own opponent and jumped in front of it with a town hall.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Kansas City is going to defy the state of Kansas, and they're going to be a sanctuary for people seeking what they call gender-affirming health care, which is just chopping off your bits to create some Frankenparts. Oh, I said it, and you can get as mad as you want, and I don't care. Officials in Missouri's largest city, for the drive-bys, are moving to declare it a sanctuary city for those, and I meant, because Kansas City is Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas, to declare it a sanctuary for people who want to chop off their bits, chop off their breasts, chop off their penises, or sew their vagina together. That's what it is. I'm not calling it gender-affirming care because that's a made-up unicorn term for people who want to live in vagary and fantasy. We live in a world of science and reality, so that's what it is. That defines state officials intent on banning it for minors. And here's the thing. They want to restrict it for adults only. That's all the state said. Right. Only adults. Right. Stop cutting up kids. Kids! Minors! No, but Kansas City Council decided that, you know, because they solved crime and everything else, we're going to go ahead and tackle this. And so they pushed through this resolution. It's not legally binding, by the way, but they're going to consider it fully. They're going to consider it fully today. So 16 other states have laws restricting. They're not banning it for adults. They're restricting it to adults. There's a big difference. Nuance matters. Smashing Pumpkins apparently paid a ransom because someone was going to leak all the new music that they have. I know Billy Corgan admitted that he paid a ransom to stop their songs from leaking online. They were stolen from this three-part rock opera album that they have. It was released on May 5th, but they said that, I mean, he doesn't even know how the music was leaked. The FBI got involved and everything. So they had to pay an actual ransom for that. That's crazy because I wouldn't think that he would do that. It's interesting. 14 fast food chains are offering... They're bulking up their poultry with seaweed, beef, soy, which is horrifically bad for you, oats, and wood. Poultry-based products. They're going to try to pump up their products by literally putting like wood and soy. Like you're going to be an actual soy boy. Be careful where you go. You could grow boobs, dudes, if you eat their chicken. Stay with...
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
State governments and the federal government are going to act to repress gun rights. Under your administration, you instructed the Department of Justice and the ATF to ban bump stocks. If elected president again, how would you act not only to defend our Second Amendment rights, but to restore rights that have been taken from us, such as, by example, recently, the ATF's ruling on the pistol stabilizing braces?
Yeah, as you know, the bump stocks are actually a very unimportant thing. And NRA, I went with them, and they said it doesn't mean anything. They're actually, all they do is teach you how to shoot very inaccurately. So we did that. There's been nobody that's protected the Second Amendment, as you know, like I have. I protected it through thick and thin, not easy to do. But we have a very big mental health problem in this country. And again, it's not the gun that pulls the trigger. It's the person that pulls the trigger. And we have to protect our Second Amendment.
That was from the town hall last night. I was wishing that Collins would do a follow-up. And I know they were taking questions, and I know that they probably had the executives write her questions for her, including all of her follow-ups. But still, that was an interesting question. He did sidestep it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. So I was telling you, and we've got a lot more to get into with, you know, more on Title 42 and more on this, the Biden scandals, because we're going to break down some of this other stuff that's expected. But this question last night, first off, that's not entirely accurate. At this particular time, I was working with an entity that was partnered with the organization. So we were all working together. And the bump stock thing, I will say the question that the audience member asked was a little bit, wasn't leading. It was the part of it was incorrect because he was saying that the order about bump stocks came from the White House. And I will say that it did not. The order from bump stocks was something that actually some Democrats had been floating. They were talking about this with some moderate Republicans because this is something that the ATF wanted to do. It actually originated within the ATF. And you had moderate Republicans that thought, OK, well, this could be an Overton window situation. Let them talk. Let Democrats tell, you know, let's do this thing where you know, it might be like everything is going to, you know, they're going to come after everything. And then, oh, you just get this one thing. Let's just walk it back. That's actually the position that some moderate Republicans had at the time. And they thought that they could convince Democrats that this would be some kind of win if they were able to convince them that, oh, well, this is enough. You can just, you know, you can do it like this. You can do it like this. This is, you know, this is how you can do it. And this, the bump stock, as you remember, it's never about the device. And this was true at the time. And I've argued this. It was never about the device. It's about engagement with the firearm. It's about trigger engagement. It's about much more than that. The bump stock, and I've shot with a bump stock, I think it's a waste of ammo. But I don't care. That's not the point. Whether or not I think it's a waste of ammo, whether or not you think it's a waste of ammo, whether or not you think it's a ridiculously, you know, unneeded accessory is completely irrelevant to whether or not you get to have it or not. We don't sit around and decide what is affirmed as a natural right in the Constitution and what isn't by whether or not you like it. And you could say, are you saying that bump stocks are affirmed by, I'm saying anything 2A related is, yeah, you're right. Care to debate me on it? Because I am. So this was always about engagement. It was about trigger engagement. It was about firearms still. It's still, and here's the other thing that it's about. An agency that is running around Congress to create a rule that it once treated as law. That's the other thing. Now, he could have jumped this instead of just sidestepping it and retreating to mental health, which is still an important issue, but it's separate from the direct question that was asked. What he could have done is turned it around and then thrown it at Collins. He could have said, but you know, one of the bigger issues here is that this is about agency, abusive agency circumventing Congress. And the bump stock is a variable. Just like the pistol brace is a variable. Just like leases, those were variables with the CDC. The real issue here has to do with circumventing Congress and abusing authority as a bureaucracy. And he could have really laid into the Biden administration then. He could have laid into it. When I watched that, I thought he was unprepared for that. And that's inexcusable for the people that are around him. I absolutely do not hide my, I don't want to say lack of approval because I just don't like the people that he's got surrounding them. I think they're horrible advisors. Whoever prepped him for this town hall did not do a good job. He had great moments. And the thing is, it's not because he messed up an answer that he was asked. It's that he could have destroyed certain things and he just didn't do it. If someone who was advising him knew what the hell they were talking about with this issue, they could have set him up to trounce her and that question into a hole in the ground. That would have been viral video this morning. You would have woken up to it. That's a lack of preparation or lack of good preparers. And it's inexcusable at this stage. You ought to know better. You ought to know that was coming. You had to know that was coming. He could have turned it around and said, it's a variable. It's about eight. And then from there, he could have actually helped himself and given himself a buffer about vaccines. He could have set himself up not only to turn it around, answer, and then quickly turn it around on that question. He could have established for himself a buffer for a vaccine question by talking about out of control bureaucratic abuse. And he didn't. I have to ask if the people preparing him for things are trying to hurt him. Or is the incompetency of the people preparing him that great? You don't serve your side by serving it half-assed. Now, there's a way that you, because see, here's the other thing I was thinking about, and we're going to move on to some other stuff. Collins can be aggressive with her questioning, but only to the point where she is not afraid to ask the question. But I think that it's too early to tell if she's aggressive enough to hold that position and push back and forth. I mean, I think you could kind of tell a little bit when she was going after him with some of the election stuff. But on something like this, he could have, I think she was kind of limited in what she could ask and what she could follow up on. I would really like to know. I hope somebody leaks it. I would love to know, like, how restricted she was. Because there were a couple of times she kept the election stuff, I think she was told. But I think that there were a couple of other opportunities that she either missed because she didn't know how to push on him, or because she was told by executives, focus on this and only push back on these issues. Now, granted, I didn't watch the whole town hall because I had a life to live, and I've already done my CNN town hall time. So I think I can be excused, right? Like, we can all agree. But man, nothing makes me angrier than a missed opportunity to dunk on the legacy press. I was thinking about this. I think that's actually my biggest trigger. I hate using that word, but for the lack of a better way to put it, I think that actually is missing the opportunity to dunk on someone who deserves a dunk. I mean, oh, it's so, you know how frustrating that is? Oh my gosh, it's so frustrating. Oh, all right. I got some other things for you that I want to hit too. And we'll come back around because there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff to hit today. We've been discussing the Title 42 expiration. I did see this. I mentioned this earlier. I saw this thing. Where's this story at? The cartels. Now, do you honestly believe this? Because I was looking at this and I'm like, okay, is this truly the story? The narrative going around is that, you know what? The cartels aren't going to allow it to get too crazy at the border. And the reason they're not going to let it get too crazy at the border is because they lose money. They want to control all the crossings. Do you believe that? I don't know. I just don't know if I believe that. Like, do you think that they're... it's already pretty chaotic. I saw some photos of these camps that... everybody has these blue tents and they're all camped right by the Rio. And what's weird is that there's like all these well-worn pathways, which makes me think this little thing has been here for a long time, right? There's all these little well-worn pathways to all these different tents and people are just camped out right there on the side of the Rio. And they're all ready to go. There's more people coming up. And I'm looking at all of this and I'm like, you know, I don't know. Are they, do you think the cartels are, I mean, the whole border is controlled like that? The entire border where not, is it really? Yes.
I wouldn't doubt they've built quite a network. I mean, that seems plausible to me. But apparently Hakeem Jeffries just says, he literally said, I don't know, is this an hour and a half ago? That it's all fictional what's happening around the border. Republicans are creating a fictional argument about what's
happening. Are you kidding me?
I'm not joking.
Oh, please. I need this in my life.
As is often the case with my extreme MAGA Republican colleagues.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Really? Can he say anything? I'm going to get back. Extreme MAGA Republican. Extreme MAGA Republican, Kane. Extreme MAGA Republican.
You got to throw it in there. It's called
Extreme MAGA Republican.
It's called conditioning for a reason, Dana.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They create a fictional argument around what's happening at the border.
What? Now, who's created a fictional argument? What if
I thought the argument was real.
Yeah, what if we argued that's fictional?
What a stupid construction of a sentence.
Yeah.
Well, the argument's fictional. He should have said the issue, but you know what I mean.
Right.
First off, it's not. The argument and the issue are both incredibly real.
Yep.
They're both very real. So I don't know where he's getting off with it. I mean, does he not see what's going on at the border? Does he not see all the people? Just wonder. I'm asking for some friends. You guys know? I'm curious. You guys know? I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm wondering, asking for a few friends here. Does he actually? Who knows? I just, I think it's so insane that they would even like push something like this. You can see the people. Not only can you see the people, but you can also see the issue with the border towns. The border towns are struggling. Are you going to go down there and tell them that they're made up? Oh, man, please let... Oh, my gosh. Let's all just say a little prayer right now for Hakeem Jeffries to go down to McAllen and tell everybody that it's all made up. Oh, please. Please let Hakeem Jeffries just physically go to McAllen, Texas and tell everybody down there that it's all made up. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, amen. I mean it. No, that's a prayer I mean, so it's not blasphemous because I mean it. Oh, man. That'd be something else. Be something else. Okay, so I have a couple of other things that I want to get into because I got Buttigieg doubling down. And I'm still fascinated with this fight that all of Egypt is having with Netflix over the ahistorical doc that Jada Pinkett Smith made. She enraged an entire nation. They are so mad. And I saw it finally come up on Netflix last night. And it does kind of look garbagey. Just because you know how you can tell from certain title cards? This is probably going to be, you just know. I got to touch that because they said that this is what Egypt, like their literal, like minister of antiquities and all of this stuff. They said she's blackwashing the series or the history of Cleopatra. I mean, and now all the left doesn't know what to do because they're like, can we call Egyptians racist? Like, how does that work? Oh, wait, what? It's very confusing.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So imagine you're just on the beach, taking a walk, the white, pristine sands of Vero Beach. And you look down, and you're like, well, what is all this? And it's 20 bricks of cocaine that washed up on the beach. I mean, just, you know, for a second, just imagine 20 bricks, 57 pounds of cocaine. Now, if you're wondering, well, wait a minute, you know, before we find out, you know, whether or not, you know, a good deed was done here, how much is all that? It's actually estimated street value $700,000. And you wouldn't be wrong to wonder. So it was just like it was in a white garbage bag, washed up. And I mean, good heavens. So they said that Border Patrol, WFLA, said Border Patrol said the bricks had a collective weight 57 pounds. They're trying to figure out how in the world that it got there. I mean, it washed up on the shores, on the beach. So they're trying to figure out, okay, well, how did this happen? So that's what they're investigating now. But they said a good Samaritan notified them. And local authorities responded, and they turned everything over to Border Patrol custody. Wink, wink. Yeah. So... I think that fascinates me that you could, I just would imagine that did it fall off a boat? Did someone just accidentally drop
a
57 pound bag of cocaine?
This reminds me of every other episode of Miami Vice.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out the best way to read this story. I was thinking about this morning. So this was in Miami. The lead is really buried here. So let me just read the whole headline and subhead. Famed FBI undercover drug informant, white boy Rick, arrested in Miami. Police say that Richard Wershe said another woman's name during romantical times before attacking his girlfriend at an Edgewater condo. So what ended up happening is he called his girlfriend by the wrong name during romantical times. They got into a big old argument, and now he's in for domestic assault. This guy, he was an undercover FBI informant, White Boy Rick, the movie with Matthew McConaughey. He, like, inspired that movie. And so this Richard Wershe, he was 53, was arrested. He attacked his girlfriend of 4 months. They were fighting because he called her by his other lady's, his ex lady's name. And she got mad at him. She had bruises. So that's why he was taken in, because he did hit her. Good heavens. And I mean, I don't know. Anyway, he was, he's in the jails. So I don't know how else to put it.
Okay. Well, listen, Twitter was already under fire for misinformation, disinformation, all out lies, anti-Semitism, right, racism before Elon Musk took over. And now it's gotten kind of crazy, right? Seemingly unmoored, if you will. Will anybody be able to police what Carlson says? Or is this the point? It's just a free-for-all.
I think this is the point. It is a free-for-all. It's what Elon Musk wants to provide. This move by Tucker may cement the idea of Twitter as a right-wing website.
It's a social media platform that you're on. So are you a right winger, Stelter? I'm just curious. I'm curious how this works.
How can we have a free for all?
Yeah. What is? Oh man, he's gonna be on Twitter. It's a free for all. Can't have a free for all. It can't be for all.
We're free.
We're free. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour, Dana Lash here with you. You're a lovable curmudgeon, always bemused, perpetually. And you can listen coast to coast. You can also stream the program, and you can watch the simulcast of the radio program on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. So they're upset. They're upset, Kane, because... And the thing is that Tucker Carlson hasn't even said that he's doing anything yet. He just said that, you know, they're coming back and it looks like he's going to do some kind of thing on Twitter, maybe. And then Elon Musk said nothing's been signed. So I don't know why everyone at Alphabet Network is getting so upset. I mean, it just doesn't. That's kind of what Twitter's a social media platform. It's not a website. I mean, I guess you could say that if you wanted to be like super general about it, but it's a social media platform. That's all it is. People simply use it. Progressives use it. They changed their algorithm to be more lefty. It's going to be a right wing. Say right wing. If they don't ban the right, then it's right wing. That's how the left views speech. If it's not banned, then it's right wing. And everything that we disagree with is right wing. Can you imagine living your life so beholden to the herd? Jiminy Christmas. It just doesn't... No. They're just so uncomfortable with having to coexist. Isn't that their big thing?
Yeah.
Coexist. They just want to coexist. It's so... Yeah. This is bumper sticker talk. It's all it is. Okay, so he hasn't come out with any other video or anything like that. I just do think it's super, super interesting. All right, so some of the other stuff I wanted, because we got a lot of audio today. What do I even want to get into? Because we got so many Biden things. Audio soundbite 14. The debt ceiling, they wheeled out Dianne Feinstein. The left is mad. When are they not? And Biden was trying to, I think, fabricate some kind of insult for Republicans about spending, and it just sort of fell apart. Listen to this.
I'm not being solicitous. What we should be doing, and I'm proposing when I try to finish this job, I'm proposing that we, for example, if we start... Instead of Head Start, which they want to cut 21,000 Head Start spots in this state alone, we should be sending, all the studies show that if we sent, no matter what the background of a child, if we sent that child to a school at age 3, learning reading, writing, arithmetic, age 3 and 4 and 5, we end up increasing by 56% the chance they'll graduate from high school and go on beyond high school.
Where in the world was he going with that? He was trying to hit Republicans on spending, and it didn't work. Just like it didn't work when he tried to figure out how to get off the stage. Audio soundbite 15. After he made these remarks, Kane said yesterday, we could do a whole video montage. How many minutes do you think we could get out of this?
20, 30.
Of him not being able to find his way off a stage. Because they tell you this when you go on the stage, you enter this way, you exit this way, exit stage right or exit stage left. This is just funny. You can hear the music playing. I don't know which way to go. Someone is like, yes, you come literally this way. He's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll follow you very slowly. I don't. It just doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. It really doesn't. I mean, man, you can say what you want, but it doesn't look good. All right, so I have a million things that I want to make sure that we're hitting. So San Francisco, here's one. I saw this and I wanted to get this when he was, I was actually going to save this and I was going to do a piece on this, but when his talk about education, et cetera, made me want to hit this story. So do you remember back, this was in 2014, I think. And this, and I'm looking at this thing, there was this Annenberg University study that just came out, recently came out, talking about math instruction in San Francisco. So do you remember back in something like 2013, 2014, San Francisco, they wanted to approach math equitably. Do you remember this? Before you started really hearing the word equitable everywhere, the city of San Francisco wanted to approach math in an equitable manner. Now, what does that mean? They were making the argument, this is in San Francisco, they were making the argument that minority students were struggling with math. They were behind white and Asian students. And they basically blamed it, not basically, they did. They blamed it on them being minorities. I'm not making this up. This is San Francisco. So before 2014, and there have been a couple of places that touched on this. Reasons touched on this. I think Red State wrote about it. Before 2014, kids had to, you had to do, you know, you have like advanced math or you have, you know, just like regular everybody else math. And if you were on the advanced track, like AP, then you would take algebra in your eighth grade year and go from there. And then a lot of kids, and this is like this in a lot of schools across the country, then they would start algebra their ninth grade year, right? And it meant that by the time that some kids got to their senior year, they were in calculus. So, and they do this with a number of subjects. And that obviously, because a lot of colleges, especially if you're going into an engineering, computer science, whatever, you have to have like pre-calc or calc, right? And they thought that because there were fewer minority students who were on the AP track to take algebra in eighth grade and then be able to get into calc their senior year, they thought that that was inequitable. That was unfair. So they redid their curriculum. This is San Francisco schools. They redid their curriculum, I think, and this is a Reason piece. I think it was like in 2014. And they then required, now get this, that all students wait and take together algebra in their ninth grade year. Now, they were saying that, well, if we would have, if all the kids were learning together, then some of the lower, you know, the students who were making lower grades in the subject, it would help improve their grades in the subject. And they actually even did more, because students that were taking Algebra 1 prior to even going into high school privately, even if they could take a test, even if they could test out of the class, they still had to take the class regardless. So say that during the summer between your eighth and ninth grade year that you wanted to fulfill that requirement so you could take calculus when you were a senior and you decided to do a summer course, Algebra 1 summer course. Well, then by the time you got to, you know, school started in the fall, ninth grade, didn't matter if you got an A in that private course over the summer. Didn't matter. Or summer school class. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if you take the test and test out of it. You were required to take it regardless, you know, because equity. They were punishing you for wanting to get ahead. So Stanford did this survey because the reason that all these, you know, these San Francisco schools were saying that it was going to close the achievement gap. Well, they finally did a survey on it, a study on it. And guess what? It didn't. It didn't at all. They said that large ethno-racial gaps in advanced math course taking remained. They said that they studied how there was a lot of participation in accelerated options, and the schools were looking to reduce the disparity, and what they found is that it all remained anyway. It didn't do a damn thing except penalize the students who were advanced. And here's what gets me. The whole point of this, they said, was to help the students who were underachievers. Now, why did San Francisco not choose to approach this by just teaching better? I think that there are some instances in which students fall behind, maybe because there is a learning hurdle or however you want to put it. But in some instances, it's because of just bad teaching. I remember when I was in school, the younger teachers who were just coming up and coming into schools were the ones everybody wanted to have as their teacher. Because the older ones that had tenure, who were like, I had an algebra teacher that really reinforced my hatred of math. He was a jackwagon. I could not stand this guy. He was rude. He was condescending. He did not like to explain anything to anyone. And he would, when he would challenge students to go up to the board, he would literally ridicule you. He was a horrible teacher. He had tenure though. And the other teachers hated him, but you couldn't get rid of him. Nobody wanted to have this guy for math. And I had a friend who actually delayed a math course, and put herself back so she didn't have to take him our sophomore year of high school. It was wild. There are some bad teachers out there. And this sounds kind of like, if you're having students of different demographics that are struggling with math, then why don't you figure out how you can improve that by teaching better instead of lowering the bar for everyone? Because what you're saying is that you don't believe that these students are capable of meeting the expectation of an advanced placement class, of an accelerated math course. They're just giving up. They're not even going to try with these kids. That wasn't even their first option. They didn't even try with these kids. They didn't try to help these kids get into these accelerated math courses and succeed. They didn't do anything to prepare them. They just decided to take them away for everyone in eighth grade. Tell me how that's not racism. Because you're just, they're not going to meet this expectation, so let's lower the bar for everyone. How is that not racist? It is. It's a rhetorical question.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This story cracks me up. A missing Australia woman survived 5 days on wine and lollipops, say authorities. They rescued her in the wilderness. She survived for 5 days, this woman in the Australian wilderness, thanks to a bottle of wine and some lollipops. The 48-year-old, who is only referred to as Lillian, went on vacation to Bright Australia last month. Her family, though, was alarmed soon after she didn't make her daily call to check in with her loved ones on April 30th, according to Victoria Police. Police say their air wing spotted her car at the end of a dirt road, and they said that it was about 60 kilometers from the nearest town. A police van was directed to her location, and she was safely rescued. And they actually saw her there, and they can see her waving up, and she's just like in the middle of this clearing. It's hysterical. But at the same time, she was trying to get to the Dartmouth Dam when she realized she had taken a wrong turn. Then her car got bogged down in mud. She didn't have a cell signal, no way to call for help. She couldn't move her car. She could use the heater for warmth. And so it was only supposed to be a day trip. So she just brought some snacks and lollipops, and she didn't have any water. And she doesn't drink, but she had to turn to a bottle of wine she brought for her mom, which is kind of funny. They said that she stayed with her car. She didn't wander off, which was smart, and that helped police find her quickly. So they rescued her, and she was very grateful, they said, to see man alive. Goodness. The president says that power plants have to reduce pollution by 90% or shut down. The EPA announces strict guidelines for their green agenda. Imagine that. That's, yeah, I know. I mean, just go ahead and just give China a leg up on us, will you? And by the way, they've already done so much to reduce it anyway. I mean, more so than any other nation. So let's see. This 10 million gallons of partially treated wastewater, so some of it's still fresh, was released into Mount Hope Bay in Fall River, Massachusetts. 10 million gallons of partially treated wastewater. A circuit breaker failed at the regional wastewater treatment facility. The water bypassed all the pumps, and they said it's bad. They said it was really bad. Sunday night, officials said that they did finally reset the breaker and it was working correctly. But between the spill and heavy rain, they said that they had to close the section to Mount Hope Bay for the next week or so. Ooh. Do you have to, like, go in and scrub all the pumps and everything, I'm wondering? Like, how does that work? Yeah, I mean, I don't know how that works. I just, you know. Also, there were 160,000 rounds of ammo that were stolen from Ohio police recently. The Ohio Police Division Columbus police said that it was stolen from a warehouse on the west side, and that when the division noticed the delivery was short, it contacted the shipping company. They said everything had shipped, and the ammunition was stolen before making it to CPD's facility. It was rifle ammunition. So they said that there were two others involved in a warehouse theft last month linked to the incident, according to Columbus police. We have a lot more in store. Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
You know, so many of us have come from movements that were about the fight for equality. We also understand there's a difference between equality and equity. Equity is everyone deserves to have, right, and be treated equal. But equity understands that not everybody starts out on the same base. So if you're giving everybody an equal amount, but they're starting out on different bases, are they really going to have the opportunity to compete and achieve? That's why we purposefully, as an administration, the president, myself, the secretary, and everyone in our administration are so dedicated to a specific principle, which is that of equity.
She was struggling a little bit there, I think, to explain fully what it was. It sounded like she was really kind of like on the struggle bus with that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. She was really struggling to explain it because equality is about having equal opportunity. But then equity is about treating people differently. As a result, you know, and then expecting that, you know, you're going to get the same outcome. I mean, you actually have to incorporate and use discrimination with equity. I mean, that's it, you know, what it involves that. I have to excuse our weed eater. It's out there. My favorite thing, sidebar, get a little peek behind the curtain. My favorite things ever is like when it's, you know, it's time to trim the stuff, time to trim the grass. And man, it's like some people get super excited with weed eaters, man. They get in there like, I'm going to weed eat right the hell by this window. Right by this wall. I mean, you can only make things like so soundproof. So we're just, you know, just pretend it's like some Texas chainsaw stuff in the background. I don't know. Just, you know, let's do that. So I wanted to play this audio soundbite too. This is, so I was, where did I put this at? So Charlize Theron. I don't, I'm not a fan of her. She adopted some, you know, kids. It's great. And then her son, her adopted son, I guess she encouraged to identify as a female. And so, I don't know. I just feel, remember the thing where it's like the guys, the sons who are, you know, they struggle with their identity, things like that. And they end up, those are the ones who want to cosplay as women or identify as women, however you want to put it. They remember the study where it discussed how the moms are just nuts. Well, there you go. So Charlize Theron, she's an actress. She was at some event that it was a Drag Isn't Dangerous telethon, which no one said that it was. Literally nobody said that it was. They just said, hey, can some of the men who dress as women and like the, you know, some of the other supporters, can you just not have them go to like public libraries and shake their wings in front of the kids? That would be great. You know, can you just not? I mean, just maybe skip that today. So she was at this event, and she was really talking tough. Listen to this.
We love you, queen.
We love you, queen.
We're in your corner, and we've got you, and I will f*** anybody up who is, like, trying to f*** with anything with you guys. It's really, in all seriousness, there's so many things that are hurting and really killing our kids, and we all know what I'm talking about right now, and it ain't no drag queen.
I really feel like she couldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight. I mean, if I had to guess, I would just, you know, I mean, it's one thing to like think that, you know, it's one thing to be in an action movie. And then it's one thing to actually believe that you can do the things that your character is doing with the aid of special effects. So she was saying, we're in your corner. She said, we love you, queens. We're in your corner. We got you. And she said she would blank up anyone who is like trying to blank with anything with you guys or whatever that means. Like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I don't know. I just, this is so goofy. This is so dumb. I know. So she, but that's the thing. Like, it's, no one has an issue with adult shows. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about with kids. There's like a, I mean, do we not understand this difference? There's a major difference here.
It's intentional that they do this.
Oh, I know. It's totally
every subject they do it. When you're against illegal immigration, all of a sudden now they say you're against immigration. And it's the same with this. They always conflate to a straw man argument. It's their tactic.
Yeah. It's so frustrating. I mean, we support you. It's like, that's the thing. It's never been, nobody's ever, this is about age appropriateness. So I guess she's fine with taking her kids to a gun range, you know? Oh, wait a minute. You bigot. Why do you hate? Same thing. Oh, wait, suddenly you want to interject and you want to be able to determine what's appropriate or inappropriate or what you want to do for your kids or what you don't want to do for your kids. Hey, Kane, I got an idea. Let's take all them kids and get them baptized.
There you go.
I don't care about their parents' faith or anything about their families. Let's go. I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't want to compare that to drag queens, but I'm talking about different variables that you think that parents might want to be involved in, right? You know, for the people who struggle to understand meaning. I don't know. And this is kind of a big deal, though. This isn't something as innocuous or something as, you know, wholesome as what, you know, the examples I'm giving you. These are actual adult dudes taking part in a sexually charged performance. I mean, have you seen some of these videos out here with the family-friendly brunch? I have friends and family that have gone to drag shows. And I just never wanted to go. I don't know. I just never wanted to go. It's like, I'm gonna have brunch. I don't want to see man ass, you know? Right?
It's not Friday yet.
I mean, forgive the Portuguese, but, or don't. But I'm being honest. No one wants to see that. I mean, I'm eating my brunch, right? Like, I'm having my mimosa. I'm having my brunch. I don't need to see that. Put it away. I don't know. I don't want to see that. I mean, I also grew up with some family that, you know, if they saw you wearing spaghetti straps into church, spaghetti strap top, you put that away. You put them shoulders away. You know, so I get, you know, this is a lot worse. Have you seen some of the video? I mean, how are you going to be having brunch and, you know, eating your eggs and your sausage?
No.
And you're looking over there. And their sausage is, I mean, I just. It's a fair question, right? It's a fair question. But there's certain types of meal scenarios that make sense. Like if you're eating, like this one restaurant, we were in the Bahamas somewhere. I think a hurricane took this place out. But you sit on this deck and you overlook the ocean. And as you're eating seafood, they ring a bell and feed the sharks. So there's something very powerful about eating the seafood and watching, look what them sharks are doing, you know, and then watching the sharks eat. It's just, you know, this is way different. I just have never understood kind of if that's your bag and it's an adult thing, that's fine. But to bring a kid there and treat a sexually charged performer like it's a Disney character. Well, same thing. Treat a sexually charged performer like it's a children's programming character. That's what's weird to me. That's kind of how these people, I think a lot of these people that are pushing this so hard and insisting on, this is the hill I'm going to fight on, making sure that men with lipstick on can shake their junk in front of my kid. And if you don't like it, if you don't want to see Wang's wagging at your kid, then you're a bigot. But what if you're an adult who's gone to drag shows? You just don't think that it's appropriate for kids. You're a bigot. I mean, that's okay. So strip clubs. Are you a bigot then if you don't want to drag your 3-year-old and watch a pole dancer? I'm just wondering. If you don't let your, I mean, golly. Yeah, you're a bigot then. Do you see how stupid this is and how they try to conflate this? Like in Florida, they come up with a simple bill. It's a very simple bill. And it's just the parents are going, hey, we just want to have some insight and give our consent on some of the stuff you're putting on the library shelves. And this was after, you know, they find these books in these elementary kids' shelves. Not exaggerating. I mean, the receipts are out there showing some stuff that I can't even talk about with cartoon characters. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh, they just told us not to say gay. And all the other adults in Florida are going, wait, we literally didn't. Oh, my gosh, you just said we can't say gay. No one said that you couldn't say gay. We just wanted to have some input in the classroom. That's all. It's about age appropriateness. How high are you to make this the hill you're going to fight on? Seriously. Is Hunter sharing his crack rock? What the hell's wrong with some of you people? Like, what? If you want to do the drag thing, then do it. But why do you got to make kids a part of it? Note, like, shoving kids into the mix has now become the new standard of measures, whether you're not you're truly open-minded. If you do not treat this drag queen like an Elmo character, then you're a bigot. Honey, go up there and shove some money in that drag queen's britches. Go up there. Shove some dollars in that drag queen's britches. Mind the bulge. See what I'm saying? It's true. It's true. It's almost Friday, Kane. I'm going to stretch it right up to it. Right up to it. You okay? Not like, you know, drag show, but right up to it. You okay? You're going to make it? All right. Well, we got some more here, too, that we gotta hit on as well. Yeah, because you can't indoctrinate. It's easy to indoctrinate kids. What did you say? Hooters?
But Hooters, Dana. Hooters. I've seen a kid drink a soda at Hooters.
Yeah, I've seen kids going to Hooters, too. Mm-hmm.
So
I just wonder if the people who have ever been to a Hooters, have they been to a drag show? Because it's totally not actually the same.
Drag show's like false advertisement. Hooters is like just true. They're just good-looking chicks.
It's literally girls in tight shirts with... Have they dropped the shiny... Sorry, sidebar. Have they dropped the shiny tights?
Honestly, I haven't been there.
I had a friend in college who was a Hooters waitress, and she had to wear these shiny, like, Jane Fonda-era tights.
Yeah.
And they were hideous.
Yeah.
And it just looked ridiculous. Anyway, but...
Not sure.
I mean, are they dancing and waving their butts in front of your kid's face? I mean, no. I'm just wondering. No. There's a difference between... I understand what they're trying to do, but I'm just like, have you been to a drag show?
And no one ever put money in the shorts of a Hooters waitress.
Yeah, nope. That's not nobody really that, the same thing.
Yeah, nobody that didn't get arrested.
Now, I've never taken my kids to a Hooters, but I've also never taken my kids to a drag show either. But they're not the same. I mean... these people making this comparison, I'm like, you've never been to a drag show, have you? Or you've never even seen one, have you? Because they're not the same. Not at all. But if you don't want, but here's the other thing. With the restaurant, I mean, they're also covered. They're not making jokes or singing songs about genitalia or intercourse. So, I have one more quick thing for you. Do we? Okay, I'll make it really quick. Right. A homeless man was charged for pooping on a pride flag, and then he wiped his butt with another pride flag at a Manhattan restaurant.
I hear that's legal.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that you just had to like accept what homeless people did.
Right.
He was charged, and I think he's a black man, charged with a hate crime.
What?
Because he wiped with a pride flag.
You can burn the American flag.
That's not
but a little
crime.
Poop gets on some rainbow
it's
flag.
Just a little poop.
And you get.
I mean, it's just.
I mean. Seriously? And it's a hate crime?
He could just say it's part of a drag show.
This is...
Dragged it on his ass.
His name? You want to know what his name is? Fred Innocent.
No.
Not even kidding you, dude. He's 45 years old. Fred Innocent. He walked into a tapas bar and grabbed two rainbow flags off the table, relieved himself on one, and wiped himself with the other. They said he took the only two flags and he used one to defecate and the other to wipe.
Oh.
And one of the restaurant porters said, I smelled something really, really bad. So they had to use, they have literally a hate crimes division. What? The hate crimes division where you can get arrested for not liking things. So they tracked this guy down. Now I would be like, I mean... What is it? The, inappropriate, whatever, just like, what is that called?
Indecent exposure.
Yeah, thank you. Indecent exposure. I would think it'd be like that. And also just being unsanitary.
Yeah, and not a hate crime.
Nope. It was hate. So he got hit with trespassing and burglary.
This will never stand up. That charge will never stand up.
Yeah. And but he was charged with burglary, harassment, trespassing, all as hate crimes. So you get a little bit of a wink and a kiss, a little bit more than a regular crime. A hate crime is regular crime with glitter on it. I don't know if you knew that or not. Right? So it's like, here's a hate crime and here's a regular crime. The hate crime has glitter. Woo! That's what that is. Anyway, all right, we got to get moving. I'm sorry. I just could be here forever.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
What we have been doing throughout those months and months is preparing for the end of Title 42. We have had a plan in place. We've been executing on that plan. And
so
indeed,
he's saying this is all on purpose.
We are going to do so and continue to do so.
So you got Mayorkas going, you see all this here? It's all on purpose. Did it all on purpose. This is totally the plan. Wait, that's him right there. Alejandro Mayorkas saying that it's just, you know, it's just, we have this in place. We're doing that's like, so we like Afghanistan. Remember how they were saying, no, we got a plan. Whenever they say that, I get nervous. Oh yeah, we got a plan. Oh boy. Things are about to go mega sideways. Good heavens. Yeah. Well, we see how that plan is actually not working. We see it. We see you. We see that plan. We know. Mm-hmm. Good heavens. So tomorrow, just to give you an FYI, I'm going to be out because I got two graduations coming up with my family, my kids. So tomorrow starts some of that. So my friend Sergio is going to be in for me. So make sure to show him some love. But also you can get that newsletter, Chapter and Verse Substack. I haven't forgot about you. So there, you'll have stuff coming at you as well. In the meantime, today in Stupidity came.
All right, we played this last hour, but it's Hakeem Jeffries saying that apparently Republicans are just creating a fictional argument around what's happening at the border. He really did say that.
As is often the case with my extreme MAGA Republican colleagues.
Extreme MAGA Republican.
They create a fictional argument around what's happening at the border.
I'm not really sure that's what's happening. I see the videos. You see the videos? We hear the testimony. You hear the testimony?
Extreme MAGA Republicans. I just can't get over that. It's like he gets paid every time he says that. Oh, crap. I gotta get my quarter. Extreme MAGA Republicans.